Hello and welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
A podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use of open education globally.
Learn more about us at oegglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you to a global open educator.
And we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
Hello and welcome. I am here in the middle of OER camp, and imagine, if you will, there's like mobs of people around doing all kinds of independent things as they would do at a bar camp experience. I'm Alan Levine from Open Education Global, and I'm really excited that the organizers of OER camp were willing to take a break, if they can, from everything that's going on to just have a conversation about what this is, where it came from, and sort of what's going on this year. So I'd like to ask my guests maybe just to come on with the basic intro: who you are, where you are, and I sometimes like to ask, what do you see from your perch right now? What are you looking at? Because we're on the radio, we're on audio. So Kristen, would you like to go first?
Yes, I would like to. Yeah, Alan, thanks for the invitation. I'm quite excited to be here and also to have like an event going on at the moment. I'm Christine Hirschmann. I'm the project lead of OER Camp since about two years right now. And I'm here from Hamburg. It's the north of Germany. And I'm having a lot of screens around me right now because this event is online. And it's a bit like a mission control, well, a tiny mission control set up here.
Okay. And now, of course, the guy behind it all, right?
Justin is managing all this for 48 hours now, but she has been managing it for more than 48 days before that. And for the last two, I think it's even more than 2 years. The name is Joran. You can't see it on the radio. Joran is a Swedish name, but I'm working together with Christine here in Hamburg. We're organizing the OER camps and other educational events. And we started the first OER camp in 2012. Maybe we'll get back to that in a minute, as face-to-face meetings. And today we are online. We'll get to this too.
So what was the impetus for that first bar camp? Because, from what I know, bar camps were very popular in Germany back in the mid-2000s, right?
Yes. Actually, that's interesting because we are today probably talking about how we go online. But in the beginning, the idea of bar camp, people, I think it goes back to California in 2005. They knew each other from the internet and they wanted to meet face to face. They wanted to meet in person. So they knew each other from the internet, from the then so-called Web 2.0. For the older of us, that was the idea of everyone could write into this internet, not only consume, but produce content. And they thought, when we meet, we need a format for everyone to be able to contribute. So like a user-generated conference with not someone to decide what comes in and whatnot. So that was the impetus behind the first Barcamp. And do we have show notes? Can we put a link into it?
I'll save the chat. Yeah, I love links. You have to know. I'm a hyperlink okay. kind of person.
I will provide a link because some years ago I found out about the name was Eris. Yes, Eris Stassi. And she was with the first team organizing the first Barcamp 2005. She invented the flame, the Barcamp logo and everything. And I did a podcast with her and we can link to this. And this is where I learned that I was explaining Barcamps wrong for over 10 years because I always said there were no tents at the first bar campus because everyone says, oh, it's about a camp. And I said, no, it's just a name. There were no tents. And she said, actually, there were tents.
There were people camping then, right?
It was an office building, but there was not enough space. So they put up two tents before that. So that was the idea behind it back then. And that was the same idea, but that was true for the OER camps then, to have a format for everyone to come together and contribute to the conference.
Right. And if I understand it, it has nothing to do with bars. It comes from the technical expression foobar.
Yes.
So there were food camps and then there were bar camps.
Yeah.
And, I went to one in Vancouver. They had a moose camp. So people have done various iterations. Can you tell it's us
a moose camp like the animal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. For a year, I went to school in Maine, and my last name is Moose, and they were really excited about having someone called Moose Man there back then.
That's brilliant, because I've been living in Canada for 3 years now, and I've only seen one moose. But we're going off track, and that's the fun part. Where was the first OER camp held?
I keep answering because Christine can have better answers for the current bar camps.
That's fine.
That was in Bremen, which is a medium-sized city in the north of Germany.
Okay.
Because someone at the University of Bremen was able to provide some rooms. That's actually the story behind that. And it was a university. It was 3 days. It was pure bar camp style. It was, I think, like 70 or 80 people meeting up there and just going straight forward and say, I want to hold a session on this. I want to discuss that. And 3 days. We lost documentation, but we didn't lose the memories, and there's a movie out there. So that was the first idea. There were even publishers back then. They were afraid what would happen with the open thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, do anything stand out, or what were the hot topics 10 years ago that people were excited about?
I will provide something from my own experience, because I was so wrong back then, because this whole event started because I was in a think tank back then, and there was someone from Google who just came back from Mountain View, and Max Zengers. He told us that OER is the next big thing. Everyone in the US is talking about open educational resources, and Schwarzenegger wants to revolution in California. Actually, I think he just wanted to save money and cut the budget. But he started the open educational idea on textbooks. And then we were in this think tank, and I said, I can prove you that this is nothing interesting for anyone in Germany. And I was asked to write a paper on that. And then I did some research, and then I met these like 80 people interested in OER. So it was a gathering of the people I thought would not be interested in OER back then. The topics were very, very broad. So the publishers said, okay, is this now some kind of Wikipedia from others who already then said we have to think open source alongside with the open educational materials? So, and pretty much the same questions as today, is NC a bad license option, all this?
Always the licenses. So like over the years, so we can get into the range where we can bring Kristen in, like, what have you seen in terms of like highlights or trends with the OER camps? Because there must have been something there to do it every year.
Wow, tough question, Juran. Trends, I mean, there's a big trend going on because of COVID-19, of course. There was so much going on online. And like a network opportunity that we actually created for an event that actually took place on site developed quite well in our format. So we had like these messenger groups that we actually developed for like a hackathon event. So we wanted to give the opportunity that people could not only connect during the event, but also beforehand and afterwards, because I mean, let's be honest, there's the event and people are very enthusiastic and they exchange thoughts and ideas, and we wanted to move that a bit further so that they can be connected afterwards as well. And that was quite handy because these messenger groups already existed. And when everything turned into online, that was very good because we had already one opportunity for people to exchange thoughts and to get in contact with each other. So that's of course a big trend that we switched a lot of things into online formats and into online possibilities.
Thank you.
Johan, you can add if you'd like to.
Yeah, please.
What is interesting really is about this thing between face-to-face meetings, in person and online activities is that we were not allowed to do anything online in between because we got funding from Federal Ministry for Education for 4 years. And in this funding guidelines, it said we cannot do anything online.
Really?
And then COVID hit, and they were really flexible on this. So we said, okay, now we have to do everything online. Said, yes, just go do it. And so this idea of the Barcamp people meeting in person because they knew each other from online and now going to meet in person, going to Barcamps that we hosted that were not allowed to do anything online, and then going back like a 180 degree turn for doing everything online, it's really helping us, I think, to learn always more about how online and how in-person meetings work and what is important. Because I'm pretty sure we all are learning about this. We have an idea what it's important for to have a table to sit on, but it's not as easy as we thought it would be to describe this difference and what is important in which medium and which format.
That's right. And still, like, after all this time, we're still talking versus, you know, in person versus online, and still trying to find that place in between. So would the last in-person one, would that have been in 2019 or 2020?
Yeah, it was in spring 2020, actually, before the lockdown arrived in Germany. I think it was a week beforehand we had the last big event. And actually, it was two big events. So we had like a big bar camp in Hamburg. I mean, this is where we are situated. So that was really nice to see a lot of people just before everything locked down a little bit. And then we had some kind of hackathon event. And this is a event format that I like a lot because with a Barcamp, of course, everything is very free-minded and people get to know other ideas and get to know people. And with this hackathon, we ask all the participants to come and to bring an own project so that they had like an OER that they really wanted to work on. And it didn't really matter if they were completely newbies or if they already had a lot of experience or not. And then they came together in different groups. And I'm sure some of the groups didn't even know each other beforehand. And we assigned these groups either by format. So there were people that, for example, wanted to create videos or they wanted to create a podcast, or the other assignment was they grouped together by like a topic they were interested in. And then we had, Johan, what was it, 2.5 days, I think. So we everyone came together like in event hall for 2.5 days, and then they developed their ideas, and it was very interesting. And it really had the feeling of a hackathon because people worked also night shifts, and we also asked them to bring some souvenirs along so that they could make their workspace very nice. And that was really, really nice. And thing that we said at the beginning was that they really needed to publish their OER. And of course, that could have been like I said, a video, but also a concept. And that was for me very interesting for the participants who attended, that we had a lot of OER at the end of these 2.5 days. So that was quite a nice experience. And very nice on-site experience just before COVID came.
That's fantastic because, you know, my always desire to go to a conference was where you actually did something and left with producing something. It's great to share and connect and present, but I always felt like there should be more hands-on, which sounds like that's what you accomplished. Can you talk about the, like, when did you start thinking about doing OER Camp online, and what kind of led into the decisions you made for planning it, especially for taking it global?
Okay. Christina's frozen about this question. okay, then I'll be impolite and going first. Actually, the idea of taking an OER camp to a global or at least an international level had been around for maybe 5 years now. And I'm always complaining about the funding. Actually, this funding was great that we had, but it did not allow international activities. So this is maybe, if I could criticize a little bit of the funding strategy in Germany, it's improving now, is that it's not always international by default. And so we couldn't do it with the normal funding we had. And I spoke to a lot of people, and a lot of people were helpful in finding funding. But we still were looking for a non-online activity. And today, I cannot imagine why it was so out of our range of thinking to do it simply online, because I don't know, the team we have, the agency we're working in, they're doing online activities since, I don't know, 2008 or 2009 now, but it just came up with the COVID situation to do it online. And the great German Commission for UNESCO helped us to get the funding. And it was somewhat short notice that we learned we could do it in December 2021. Mm. So the German Commission for UNESCO was really helpful and provided a huge part of the funding themselves. So this really happened now. I think I saw in our team a graphic prepared for the closing of this event. And all of us here in this room can keep the secret for 44 more hours. And the podcast will be published afterwards, I think.
Yes.
Then there will be, I think, an infographic saying we had 72 days for preparation because it was such short notice. It had to be in 2021. And then it was somewhat a flow. Because we really got a lot of great responses from all over the world. And we had no marketing budget, of course. So we had to rely on the communities that are out there in the field of open education to spread the word. And this was really how it went. So we had no, I don't know, Facebook campaign or what else do you do if you want to spread the word globally. It really helped that, it didn't help. It was the only way to make this possible, to spread the word along these communities that have been out there already.
And that looks successful, just looking at the range of both kinds of presentations and where people are coming from to have achieved that. What kind of things are kind of, I mean, we're just into this, like what are working online to give that bar campish-ishness when we're not really in that same locale together?
Yeah. So what is really great is the possibility to switch between different sessions, different places within a second. So for example, in traditional barcamp formats, we just gathered in a plenary for the morning and the evening, or sometimes for lunch or something. Simply because to gather for 5 minutes took 20 minutes organizing, getting people together, and afterwards going back to the breakout rooms. Online, this is possible for only 3 minutes, gathering everyone in the plenary. And this really changed the dynamic. This was helpful. What I'm personally I'm missing about the online events is that at the bar camps, I am used to, I don't know, having sometimes 1/3 of the people standing around in coffee sessions with 2 or 3 people only. So we tried, not in this event, but at other events, to find a place, to find opportunities for this. It's always called networking, but it's basically, I don't know, topic-centered coffee drinking or something. I'm still missing this. We have a lot of tech out there to substitute it, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree. It's a real challenge. People talk about hallway conversations and those kind of accidental encounters where, you know, you meet someone who introduces you to someone else. So that's very popular. And but all in all, like I had never even, you know, when I read about how you do the session intros and then send people to breakout rooms, I had never even thought about that. And that's like a brilliant concept. And from what you're saying, it does work because then people can move around if they want to. So that's working well. We've lost most of our audience, but we can still go on here. And but if you have to go, that's fine too. A couple of things, like, how does it feel just a couple hours in, and how many hours are you going to be in that seat?
Yes. So it's a 48 hours event. And I sometimes really think my team here organizing this hated me for this, making this idea of having the idea of 48 hours without a break. Of course, in the team, there are night shifts and day shifts and there are breaks, but it's really 48 hours with sessions in every hour. We thought that there would be hours with no sessions. So, okay, we can just have a meeting then. And then all the more sessions that came, we had to find new ways for organizing this. We have, I think, more than 130 sessions, and every fourth hour is a so-called plenary hour where we have keynote talks and also karaoke with a great gym room hosting a karaoke session and with a yoga session. This is what we expect. We have no idea how many people will turn up at which time of the day, because we communicated, please register. You only have to register once, and then you can choose what session to attend, and if you want to attend one or two or 30 sessions. I expect, I don't know, probably like one or two sessions per person that they will attend. I don't expect any time for, I don't know, to be 200 people in one session. Probably will be more, between 5 or 20. But we don't know, and this is really exciting to us too, to see that.
I agree. It's hard to let go of that expectation that because people are going to pick and choose, and they're going to be doing everything else that is sitting in front of them during those 48 hours.
So we don't know what will happen when. We are somewhat well prepared, so we have something like a headquarters. We have been working not with each other in the headquarters for 1.5 years now, but we all had now our vaccinations. We are testing every day, so we have now 8 people working here together, but they're not working in one room. So for the record, it's December 2021. Okay. We're just learning about in Germany the fourth wave of COVID. It's basically everyone has, I don't know, an iMac and that's it. But we tried, of course, to make it somewhat more colorful. So for example, we built a studio with everything we collected from former OER camps. You cannot see it because it's the radio now.
Right.
But we tried to bring some color into it. That's nice to have, but it's only the framework, and it has to be brought to life by the community, by the communities coming here. And they are the ones providing the sessions. They are the ones making the discussions. So we can do all that we want. It won't be of interest to anyone if the community doesn't adopt this as their thing. Excellent. Christine is back.
And I hope you don't mind, Regina, if you're willing to share. We're just recording the audio of this, but if you're willing to share what your experiences have been so like in OER Camp, we're just doing a little podcast here and talking about it and to get a sense about what's it like out there in the camp. But you can feel free to say no.
Oh, hi. So I'm Gina. I'm also from Hamburg. So I've crossed paths with the organizers, but I don't think that we've actually been introduced. It's so far it's been great, but I have to admit it's a little tough as a teacher. I do have to grade right now. I do have to grade papers. I've had a long school day. today. I just heard you talking about vaccinations. I just got my booster shot. So we'll see how all of that goes. But it's amazing to see that there is a global community out there who is, or which is trying to, yeah, do the right thing to create and to remix and to, yeah, lead by example, whether it's not just as, well, the person creating, but yeah, remixing and doing and creating awareness. There are definitely different roles. I myself, I'm a teacher and I'm in teacher's training here in Hamburg. And I've created some OER and now I feel like my role is changing into creating awareness within the teacher communities, or rather, well, not really communities, the teachers in schools, to share their stuff first or second. Now they've used my stuff without remixing it. And yeah, I'm just trying to change their mindset that it doesn't all have to be perfect, but what they publish, as long as they do share their ideas and what they've produced and do, because there's so many, yeah, there's so much knowledge out there, and it feels like it's not wasted, obviously, but it's just one group of students and could be so much more, especially now that we do have LMS systems. It's easy to just share courses, but I feel like there's a huge threshold that still needs to be overcome.
Excellent. And thank you. I put you on the spot like that. And I appreciate it. Kristen was probably out troubleshooting. How are things looking at camp? Like, what's going on? Nobody's like lit a fire or anything, right?
No, not yet. We're waiting. What's happening in the night times? Well, German night times is morning time somewhere else. So that's quite cool in this bar camp. No, everything is quite fine. I think it's the first time right now in this session six. We are in session six right now, in hour six, that six session take place at the same time. So beforehand we had like five or something. So there's quite a lot going on. And at the barcamp, of course, this is the hard part because you have to decide where to go. But luckily, like this podcast, there will be some record. But yeah, there are some small tiny bonfires burning here, but no one's on fire yet. So
that's right. And do I trust that team OER camp has like shifts, or are you doing 48 hours?
Yeah, no. There are some shifts going on. Luckily, there are two colleagues of us who are very happy. Yeah, that might have been an exaggeration, but there are two colleagues who are taking the night shifts, which is really nice. And then it's the rest of us who are doing like the first day shifts and the last day shift. So we have like a shift system of three shifts, so to say, I guess, roundabout. Yeah. So it's quite interesting. We also have different roles. And I kept saying in the last days that this event is quite a big puzzle, like this puzzle of 1,500 pieces at least. But I mean, it's nice doing some puzzling in winter times.
Excellent. And we have a couple other people in the room. I won't ask you, but if you feel like just sharing your experience of OER Camp so far, we're recording this as a podcast that we'll publish at Open Education Global. And we're just acting like we're casually milling around the bar camp field just to get a sense about what's going on so we can share it with the outside world. So other than that, you know, anybody chime in with, you know, how they feel at this point, or again, for Jurn and Kristen, like, is this living up to your expectations? Like, cause I know the night before we do an online conference, I like can't sleep and my stomach is in knots and I'm thinking about all the things that could go bad.
Yeah, I'm quite excited as well. So I would definitely confirm I was up very, very early in the morning, although I could have slept in a little bit. I'm super excited, but it's working really fine. And I mean, it's hour six right now, so there's a lot that we still learn. And I think that goes quite well with OER camp in general. So it's not like that we are the experts or anything. I learned so much with this event, although it's, I don't know, probably the 100th Zoom event that I did, there's still something going on that we discover. And also in the format in general and communication wise. And this is super interesting. And this is also what I like a lot about the OER camps from the organizational side. Of course, what we offer our participants is very interesting as well, but also like from the organizing side, I'm learning a lot.
And I would like to add that it's really the first second of the conference maybe was great for me to see in the chat people writing where they're coming from. So because it's something to read the stats about registrations and see, wow, there are, I don't know, 83 countries where registrations are coming from, but then only 5 people writing in the chat, and they all come from different countries, even different continents. It is somewhat more impressive to see these real people, not data on the sheet. And they're saying, hi from Vancouver, hi from Bangkok, hi from Switzerland, because this is really something which the idea was all about. And that was the first second when I thought, okay, that's really happening right now.
I just wanted to say, I wanted to thank you as a participant because it's really well organized. You get to speak to a lot of people. And I do think that it's long overdue, a global conference or unconference like this, because if we're truly talking about diversity in education, this is the only way to have a global community. We can only go as far in Germany with the community, and to see what other countries are doing and actually networking on a global level is what this conference does. And I wanted to thank the organizers for this.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's definitely going to get into the recording. Excellent. Well, I just want to thank you so much for being willing to do this in the middle of your conference. I just want to let folks know when this goes to recording that this is an episode of OEG Voices. It's from Open Education Global. When I edit this together, there's going to be some open license music you'll hear from the Free Music Archive. And I picked out a song called Camp by a band named Poddington Bear, which is licensed Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial. And you'll find this episode at voices.oeglobal.org. And we encourage follow-up conversation in our OEJEC community. And if anybody else wants to be on a future show, just reach out. Thank you. And thank you everybody else who dropped into the session. And thank you, Gina, for chiming in. And I will do my best to get this published hopefully next week. And let's go off to camp, right?
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Ellen,
thank you so much, Ellen.